Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. This is the podcast that gets people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, life's minor inconveniences, and the music that soundtracks it all. So join me as I open up shop and have a waffle.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James, the podcast all about getting people waffling about their mental health, coping mechanisms, and the music that have soundtracked their journey. So join me as we open up shop and have a waffle. Welcome to another episode of the Waffle Shop podcast. Today, I am beyond excited to be joined by the absolute legend, TV and radio presenter, Pandora. Welcome to the Waffle Shop.
What a introduction. Thank you very much.
It's very pleasure. Worthy of the introduction.
Thank you.
I feel a little bit like I should have prepared like a fanfare now, and I'm very sorry you had to provide your own.
Exactly. I mean, I was like, well, is it going to happen? No, okay, I'll just do it myself. It's fine.
And one job. I honestly, I'm so excited that you're joining me for Waffle. Like, I'm genuinely a huge fan. Like, I love your story and kind of what you've, not what you've been through, that's probably the wrong thing to say there, but like how you've overcome it and the person, the incredible person that you've turned into today. Like, so I'm going to get off of the fangirling bit out the way in the beginning.
You're going to make me start blushing in a minute. I'm glad that no one can just, like, can't see me. So it's great.
Now the introductions are over. For anyone who isn't familiar of your story, I'd quite like to go back to the beginning, if that's okay, to talk about how it all started for you.
Okay, we're going to go all the way to me being born then. That's where we're going to start.
That's where we're going. Best place to start.
Well, I'm a little baby. And I've been in care literally from the moment that I was born.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my mum, she had a lot of problems. She struggled with mental health. And obviously, you know, in the 80s, mental health wasn't even a subject that anyone dare even approach. So if you had a problem, you mask it, you get up, you wipe your tears away, and you act as if everything's fine. That's what happened back then. And my mum was at breaking point, and she had me, and she couldn't cope. She was a severe alcoholic as well. And many times I had to be looked after. I had to go to a care home. I had social workers come and take me from my mum when she couldn't cope. And, you know, it for her, I just feel so, so sad for her because she didn't get the help that she needed. Yeah. So foster care for me was something that, you know, I grew up and was around from the moment that I was born. Unfortunately, when I was 9 years old, I had the horrific ordeal of watching my mum die. I'll never forget it. We had a great relationship. So when she would, you know, be a little bit tipsy, we would have a laugh together. Bear in mind, I'm only like, you know, 6 or 7 years old, aren't I? So, you know, I didn't know what was happening, but we'd always have so much fun. And when my mum died when I was 9, I remember that she was on the sofa and I was in front and I was performing because I was one of those kids.
Obviously.
Dancing in front of my mother, obviously, to some music. And I was just in front of her, just dancing around. And then all of a sudden, she started to shake, like convulse.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, she's playing. But all of a sudden, it had like a serious tone to it because the shaking then became uncontrollable and her body was getting rigid and her head was kind of looking towards the ceiling. And I froze. And it was almost as if I was standing there for like hours and hours, because I remember I just, moments were gone and I just kind of like was thinking to myself, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And the only thing that broke me out of just being frozen was the foaming at the mouth.
Wow.
When I saw the white foam at the mouth, I then remember letting out a massive scream and then running to the bathroom where my brother was in the shower. And I'm banging on the door, something's wrong with mum, something's wrong with mum. Yeah. And he didn't believe me. Of course he didn't believe me. Like, he thinks that I'm mucking around. I've just been dancing around. He doesn't know.
You're just trying to get him out of the shower so you can go to the toilet or something.
Exactly.
We know how the siblings work.
You know how it goes.
Right? I know how it gets.
And for me, it felt like it took ages as well. Literally just bang, 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 bang. And I'm literally just screaming until he comes out. And then I run back over to where our mum is and... you know, she's not shaking anymore. There's no more foam coming out of her mouth. She's just still. And I remember him instantly saying, get the phone. And then, you know, we both run over to the phone and he calls 999. And unfortunately, by the time the paramedics got there, my mum had passed away. I mean, they still tried to, you know, revive her, but it didn't work. And from there, my life, obviously, it completely changed because, you know, from being in and out of care, which is something that I was used to, all of a sudden, I'm going into full-time care.
Yeah.
Before, I think there was always like a little bit of a comfort knowing that I'm always going back to my mum. Oh, I'm going to go and have, you know, a little vacation. That's why I saw it, because I was only very young, you know, growing up. A vacation in another family's home. And then all of a sudden, I'm going back to my mum. It just hit me that this isn't going to happen again. Like, this is it now. And I stopped talking about feelings. If you spoke to any of my friends that I grew up with from then on, you wouldn't even know, unless someone had told you that my parents aren't my parents, you wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
Because it was something that I just didn't talk about. I only started talking about what I've been through and me being homeless as well. That's another, you know, aspect of my life. Me and my mum, we didn't, well, obviously I didn't, I was too young, but you know, she didn't have much money, and many times we were homeless. We were living on the streets, picking food out of bins. I mean, that's just something, it's, you know, it doesn't, if I hear someone else say it, it shocks me. But when I say it, it's just like,
it's like a norm. Yeah.
It's just what we did. And I didn't know, you know, that things could be different back then. I just thought everyone was going through this. I didn't see it as, you know, as what I was going through was any harder than any other, you know, 4-year-old, 8-year-old would be going through. But yeah, so I went into full-time care. I went to...
Can I just say, like, that is giving me, like, chills. Like, I'm trying to, like, fight back, like, the tears. Like, no, honestly, no, honestly, it's so powerful. And I think this is why, as soon as I heard your story, like, I related it to it so much. And honestly, I am so incredibly privileged to be having this conversation with you now. And just, I just want to say thank you for sharing it with me, let alone obviously the people who are going to listen to it, because it is conversations like this that when they are had, people will relate to it. And I think, you know, I know for a fact, like, what's coming next, this is the bit that's going to help so many other people. So I'm gonna throw it back to you now. I won't interrupt you.
No, do you know what? That means a lot, because it took a lot for me to start opening up about this, you know. Yeah. I think I became very good at, I call it the blackout.
Yeah.
Where I wouldn't remember anything before being 9 years old. I just blocked the whole lot out.
Yeah.
For a very long time, like all throughout my teenage years. I couldn't even tell you even if I wanted to.
Yeah.
Don't know. Just couldn't say. And I think that, you know, I mean, that's a big problem in itself. You know, as I said to you at the beginning, as soon as we started speaking on here, I said, speaking is the best form of therapy. We need to talk. And it's a pleasure to be here and to speak to you and to share my story, because you know what? There's people out there right now that are going through much worse or even exactly the same.
Yeah.
And I can help one person. And if you can help one person, just letting them know that they're not alone and they can get through it. I think we've done our job here. So.
Oh, 100%.
See you later. Bye. I'm out.
Ta-ra, everyone. Thanks for joining us. So what was that turning point for you to start opening up and talking about it? Like, was there like an event or like, what changed?
I met someone at an event. So I was on a different radio station, and I met this young guy at an event that I was at. And he said to me, "Oh, you're Pandora, aren't you?" And I was like, "Hello." Yeah.
Who's asking?
Brain's ticking, thinking, "Oh gosh, where have I met you from before?" And he goes, "Oh, no, we're listening to your show." And, what did he say? No, because he didn't know that I'd been in care.
Yeah.
He basically opened up to me, and he told me that, you know, he wasn't living with his mom, and that his mom was an alcoholic, and he'd been homeless before. And this was all ringing bells in my head.
Yeah.
This guy doesn't know anything about, because I've never told anyone at that point. And I was just thinking, wow. And the thing that resonated with me is the fact that he just said, "You know what? Life's just crap, isn't it? It's just..." Sorry, can you say that on here? "It's just rubbish."
Oh, I've said a lot worse. Believe me. Oh, okay. Say what you want. Yeah.
"It's just crap, isn't it? Do you know what? Sometimes I just think, you know what? I've just had enough." And it hit me. And I just thought, no. You can get more out of life. You can get over this, and you can do whatever you want to do. You can be who you want to be.
Yes.
All you have to do is just strive forward and learn from the past and use it to drive you forward. But I didn't have the guts to tell him that. I didn't have the guts to then open up and then tell him what I had been through. And that was my turning point, because I was like, I made a mistake there. I could have connected and reached out to that one person. And I wasn't obviously comfortable at that point in my life to do so. But from then on, I was, because I always have that in my head that I could have changed his life. I could have changed his perspective on his own life.
Yeah.
And that's why now I work so hard to do that, because I think, you know, there's people out there that do need help, and they do need, you know, other people to reach out to them. So that's what I'm trying to do now. Basically make up for that.
But without that kind of turning point, and for that, you know, guy to say that to you at that particular moment, you may not have ever like opened up and spoke about it. So, you know, I'm a big believer in everything kind of happens for a reason, as cheesy as it is. But, you know, I've kind of learned the hard way that this is the events that are supposed to, they're already laid out for you, basically. Not to get all like spiritual and, but
Like the Terminator. The fate is to make it or something like that. Yeah.
but it is, and it's, I love it, because it's another reason why I keep doing what I'm doing, is the fact that there's people like yourself who went through that kind of traumatic, you know, experience, but are now using it as kind of like fire in their belly to not only help others, but to prove to everyone else that, you know, yes, life is shit. It doesn't define who you are. Like, you know, you can go through all these traumatic things, like, you know, but it doesn't define. And it's the same with like any kind of mental challenge. Like I struggle with PTSD and anxiety like quite bad on some days, but I just use it now as motivation. It's like, well, do you know what? My mom is in this situation that, you know, her life's been taken away from her, but she still wakes up every day. She still has a laugh. She still gives me absolute hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, and it's like, do you know what? If someone like my mom can go through that and still have that same drive, there is nothing stopping me. And, you know, similar to your story, for anyone who's listened to this, please believe in yourself, because there is no stopping you. All you've got to do is take that first step and open up.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly, God,
that was very dramatic, wasn't it?
Oh, God. Very deep here, no, but it, do you know,
you lost my breath.
That was a speech, okay? Oh, yeah, if you're going to be, I'd elect you, okay? I'd elect you for prime minister right now. You've got the vote. No, you're so right. And it's exactly that. And I think that, you know, by reaching out to people and, you know, telling people our stories, like, you've got an incredible story yourself. I know that you're here interviewing me, but, you know, and you need to talk about your situation more, because, you know what, what you're going through will help thousands of young carers. Yeah. Thousands of young carers, knowing that there's someone like you doing so well, and someone who's, look at your personality. You're like a bundle of like.
I can't take compliments. Yeah. So even just saying that, like, I'm getting very like high pitched and
going red, everybody. He's going
red. Actually, yeah, that's really embarrassing.
He actually is. I'm not even lying, okay? He's getting embarrassed here.
Stop it. It's very warm in here, isn't it?
It's very hot in here, mate.
I'm in a different part of England to me as well.
Everyone else is snowing and squinting for us. It's like, woo, we're at the beach here. Someone get us an ice cold one quick.
Actually, you could fry an egg on my forehead at the minute. So we're going to keep it lighthearted now. Like, you know, that's it. You know, that's your incredible story. But what you have done with that, like, you are one of the most well-known radio presenters in the UK. Like, your like laughter and your energy is so infectious. Like, you only have to see one of your TikToks. And honestly, like, instant good mood. Instant good mood.
Do you know what? Can I just say, TikTok is one of my favorite things at the moment. It has really, I think it's, may bring so much happiness to people in lockdown.
Definitely.
I mean, on the radio, obviously. obviously. But yeah, TikTok is so much fun, and it's so time consuming, because I can spend hours trying to perfect a dance that I can still only half do, but you enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? And the fact that I've made you laugh, the fact that I can make someone else smile, and I'm just really enjoying it, and I'm so glad for that platform, actually. I really am. So.
Yeah, I think it's up there. Zoom and TikTok literally saved 2020. The only problem I have with it is that once I'm in, and it takes like an alarm or something, like, that's it now. That's you. You've had enough today.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Where do you stop? Because I can start scrolling on TikTok, right? And then I start saving the videos that I want to do. Then I start trying to practice some. And then I'm like trying on different outfits. Then I'm like, oh no, I actually want to do this video. So I try and do that. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, like 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, I've got to go to bed. Okay. What's going on? And I still haven't done it.
Literally doing these TikTok dances in your sleep. Absolute perfectionist.
Are you on it? Do you love it as much as I do, or no?
I'm on it, as if to say, like, I'd watch it, but I'm not that brave as of yet to get there.
So you just
there's a few in the drafts. There's a few in the drafts that, you know, they will get a stage where I'm like, because this is going to sound so true. It was like I turned 30 in lockdown, and it was like a switch had been flipped. Like, do you know what? I don't care anymore. Say what you want. Think what you want. I'm going to do what kind of makes me happy. So the next on that list is TikTok. So
there you go. Hang on. So what were you not uploading because you didn't want to you didn't want people to see you in that way, or you think sometimes they might just be a bit too goofy? Was it like a personal thing, like an appearance thing?
I think so. And it was just a kind of I've built up this kind of guard, if you like, with myself. Like, I built a bit of a wall that, whether it comes to like a, God, you're good. So you try, yes, you did that then. Oh.
See what I did?
Yeah. Right, okay, I will answer the question, but that is it. This is my show, Panda. You've got your own.
Taking over. Hello, everyone. This is the Waffle Shop Podcast with Pandora. How you doing, everyone?
She has actually just sent me my P45. I built up a bit of a guard, like, you know, I'm all kind of not prim and proper, but like, you know, I've got I'm just too serious. So okay. When it's like stuff like this, the walls are coming down. And do you know what? It's at that stage now where people are going to talk whether you're doing bad or good. So do you know what are you? Are they going to matter in 6 weeks' time? Probably not. So you might as well enjoy yourself.
One thing I've learned in radio, people are going to have an opinion. People are going to have their say. And you know what? I'm okay with that. It's taken a long time for me to be okay with it, because it's, you know, when people go, oh, you know, if you see a bad comment or someone saying, oh, he's so silly, or oh, he looks like an idiot doing that. Of course it's going to hurt. I'd be a liar if I sat here and said, oh no, you know, no comments can hurt me. Of course they do. But as you say, there's a certain switch that you flip, and it happens at a certain point in your life, not just in your career, in your life. And I think you just go, oh, I'm actually okay with someone, you know, thinking maybe, okay, I'm selfish, or thinking maybe I look stupid doing that, or maybe thinking that I can't dance, or, you know, oh, I sound awful when I sing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool. I probably do sound awful, or I definitely can't dance to that, but I'm still uploading it. Like,
am I going to stop? No, I'm not.
You know what? I'm enjoying it. And that's what I've become okay with. And I try and get as many people as I can to join me on this journey of it's letting go. Let go of that kind of, you know, the same thing with me. You know, I'm a presenter. I don't want to be seen as just this little, you know, goofy, you know, ridiculous person who's just doing these videos. And but I actually enjoy it. So I think
that's all that matters.
If you think that, then that's fine, because I'm quite happy doing it, and it's making me smile. And if it's making some other person smile, even if it's one other person out there, me. I'm going to keep doing it. There you go.
It's all that matters. So we're on a bit of a roll now with, you know, the positive vibe. So I've got some questions. Obviously, you're a phenomenal DJ. So I'm going to throw some quite fun but deep questions at you here.
Here we go. All right. Let's put
some dramatic lighting or something in this. There we go. Sounds like a Hoover.
Henry the Hoover, everybody, has come out to play.
Special guest. Can you remember the first song that you heard that made you feel something? That was a dramatic pause.
It made me, okay. So, did a tumbleweed just go by? Oh, wow. That's a very good one. That's, okay. So the first song.
Or album. Song or album.
Oh, no, hang on. I can tell you the first song. Oh, it's going to, it actually made me cry. Oh, I'm going to sing. Hang on. This is the song.
Go for it.
It goes, and you got to tell me what it is. Don't make me laugh. Okay, it goes, to dance with my father again.
Oh.
It's about the singer's father died, and he just wanted one.
I want to say Luther Van Joss, but I don't think it is. I think it's something like Yusuf something. Is it?
I want to Google it. I want to dance with my father again. I heard it on the radio not so long ago. I know what song you're on about,
yeah, but I can't for life me.
Behind it, I remember it being on the radio, and I asked, I was like, I didn't quite understand what the song was about. I was just thinking, oh, okay, what, he just wanted to dance with his dad? And it was, no, his dad was dying, and he just, you know, he's thinking of all of these things that he wanted to do with his father again that he'd missed out on, and it broke me down. It was the voice, it was the song, and it was like, so that would probably be the first song that actually triggered an emotion. Because bear in mind, I didn't need to cry either. because, you know, I was I'd shut all my emotions when I was younger. Everything was great, everything was happy, and I just remember just bawling my eyes out thinking, wow. I didn't realize that that was going to have such a strong effect on me, but yeah. So there we go.
That's
but
powerful.
We can't think of a song. What is that song?
We'll find it. We'll find it. But do you know what though? This is why I love talking to, like, you know, like people in like music and like radio DJs and stuff like that, because music is like my biggest coping mechanism. So stuff like that, like, I find it so interesting how music can take you to that place. And then, or, you know, it can also have some incredible memories attached to it.
Music is powerful. It creates an emotion. It can solidify what you're feeling. So it can, you can mirror your emotion, or you can use it to turn something on. Like, there's certain songs that are really happy, and that if you're feeling like you're in a good mood and you want to hear it, you can switch that on. Or if you need cheering up, or if you just think, do you know what, I'm in a bad one today, I need something to make me cry, I'm choosing this. Like, do you know
there
what I mean?
There we go.
It's beautiful with music, don't you? Because it can, you know, it can really lift
all
you
day.
Or make you let it all out, which is great.
I remember it was not long after everything had happened with Mom, and I went to Asda to do like the food shop. Mm-hmm. And one of the last gigs I took my mum to was to see Adele. And I was in the middle of Asda. Literally, I get goosebumps every time I tell this story because it's so cheesy. And I remember being in the aisle. Obviously, my mum was in intensive care. I wasn't sure, obviously, what the outcome was going to be. And Adele started playing. And I remember literally being right next to the Uncle Ben's Rice. And it literally, it was like someone had opened a tap. I crumbled. And yeah, it's annoying because still today I can't listen to that song. It's so powerful. But on the flip side of that, what's your go-to party starter?
Oh, mate, there's so many. Okay. You know what? Okay. You see my face and I'm smiling. Do you know what song does this? Okay. So I play it sometimes when I come home and I'm trying to G up my dog. I've been out. I think, well, that's it. He's getting it. I'm going to get home and I'm going to put on this song, particular song, and we both start playing with his tongue toy, right? I've got a little cute rescue Staffy, and it's Bubba Americano. If I could put my personality, yeah, that's the one from
In Between Us.
I do that dance as well. I think, yeah, if I could put my personality into a song, it would be that. It's just spot on. It lifts the mood. It's ridiculously silly. It's fun, and it just makes people, like, when I've been out. Oh my god, I thought this was years ago. DJ, and I used to play that song. Yeah, I remember it was far away from here. It does feel like it's been years, doesn't it? Feels like it has been at least about 5 years. Time's just flying.
I don't even know, like, where it's gone. Like, I lose my words when I'm trying to fathom what has happened this past year. Because it's literally 5 years crammed into one. And it's like, we're talking about these kind of like, oh, remember when I used to go out? Remember when I used to do this? As if it was like, but it is a distant memory.
Years ago. So basically, whenever I would be out, and I could be doing any kind of set, I could be doing like a housier set, I could be doing a club classics set, maybe doing a little bit of an R&B set.
Yeah.
But I can tell you now, if I felt the vibes and I felt it was right, I would drop that in, and it doesn't matter where I was, everyone would love it. It's just that one song. It's weird, isn't it? That one song.
I love stuff like that though. Because it even with the sad songs, it pulls an emotion, it pulls like a memory for people. Like, even whether it's not even like the In Between Us, I imagine that song was like everywhere that summer it was released, in like Xanti and like Magalove, you know, like a lot of people's first holidays and stuff.
It was, and then everyone, all it would be is no one really dances to it apart from go, hey,
yeah,
it's like that, and you're like, it just makes people happy because you can be silly to it, and that's. You don't have to like be the best dancer. You're not trying to impress anyone. It literally is go on the dance floor and actually be it.
I think it's like a very British thing, isn't it? Like, no one actually knows the word apart from duh, 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 duh. The rest of it, no one knows.
Yeah, we don't know it. Our hands are up in the air by that point.
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
Have you ever cleared a dance floor with a song?
Oh, yeah, I have. No, it's not even funny. I have. So, this was it the first club I played at, or was it the second? I'm going to go with the first. So bear in mind, this is the first time being in front of a large crowd, being in a club where a resident DJ has been killing it.
Yeah. Look,
big up to all of the resident DJs. Okay, these guys are grafters and they know the crowd. They have been playing that club day in and day out for years. They know what they're doing. I remember I came in, right? So much. Look, I'm learning now still, okay? Yeah. And it's the same with me being a radio presenter. I don't think that there's ever a point in your career where you should settle down and go, yeah, cool, yeah, that's it. Yeah, I got this. We're always learning. We're always finding new skills and different ways that we can mix or how I can present my radio show. There's always room to get better. Anyway, so obviously, you got to act confident, right? So I walked into this club and everyone was just dancing, having a great time. And there's a fear, okay?
Yeah.
And all DJs would have, even presenters going to present in, you know, live, not just studios, what is it, live arenas. When you're going out in front of people, it's very scary because, you know, at any one point, they could not like what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it's that reaction. How do you react to that? And obviously, you know, being the first time or second time that I'm in a club, I ain't that confident, right? This is all for show, hon. Okay. So I got there and I
had fake it till you make it.
But this is what you got to do. I walked in there as if I owned the place. I walked in with a little bag and everything, just, you know, thinking that I was the queen of the
place. Giving a little wave.
I'm thinking, who's that girl? Anyway, I get behind the deck to say hi to the resident DJ. And so I was DJing off of Serato at the time, so I brought my laptop.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that no one had taught me was going from someone who was doing DJing off of a USB stick to someone who's DJing off of a laptop, you just got to switch a few wires. I'm making it sound more complicated than it actually is. But if you have never done it before, all of a sudden, you're having a mini heart attack. You're like, uh-oh, because one thing you don't want in radio or in a club is silence, okay? Yeah. No one wants to hear silence. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's not even the only mistake, okay? That's not how I cleared the floor. Hold up. So anyway, so I spoke to the resident DJ and I was like, oh, because obviously you don't want to sound stupid, like, oh, I haven't done this before. But I managed to say to him, how do you do this again? Do you know what? I just keep getting confused. It is this one, isn't it? And he goes, oh, yeah, let me just fix this for you. It was brilliant. He was a diamond. So I was like, brilliant, thank you.
Perfect.
Did that. And I bigged him up, got onto the mic. And what I did is I didn't mix out of his song because by this point, I was, if I'm honest with you, I was just nervous at that point. So I thought, you know what? I'll get on the mic, big him up, and then I'll just whack in my first tune, right? And I thought, right, okay, cool. And as this time it was going, I was just listening to the music that he was playing because what I had in mind was like an amazing, like old school garage set, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, talking some R&B as well. And then at the end, maybe I'll get a little bit of house in. And I played my first song. It went off. Everyone was loving it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. Second song in. Yeah. Managed to mix that perfectly fine. Then I thought, right, okay, here comes the garage. I started mixing in some garage. And basically, this crowd did not like garage. But I was thinking, oh, I wasn't quite quick on judging the crowd because that's what you are when you're deep. You've got to judge the crowd. If they do not like a song, you mix out of that, literally, even if it's a minute and 40 in, get it out.
Get it out. It's gone.
I left it in because then I was panicking more. Why are people going? So I left it on, mixed in another garage tune. So more people went and I was thinking, what do I do? What do I do? I then got so nervous that I couldn't mix the next song in. So then I just remembered that I just dropped it in and accidentally I had knocked out one of the wires. So one of the wires had come out. The thing just went silent and I was just like, oh, And that's even worse in a club. So people are already dispersing, going to the toilet, going to the bar, and then it goes quiet. And then my face just drops. The engineer guy comes to help me out. And I just remember it being an ordeal. But I can tell you now, and I'll tell anyone this, right? Nothing to be embarrassed about, because we all have to make, it's not just about mistakes, but it's about learning from certain situations. I now know what to do. I learned the hard way, but it had to happen, because to be fair, that was my first time DJing in a club and I was nervous. Like, I'm not afraid to admit it. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many times I DJ at home. It's different when you get there. I can tell you that now. Like,
because you've got this an extra layer of pressure, isn't it? You've got all these people, like, you know, they're on their, like, their stag do's, their hen do's, they're like, they're like quite big events, like not just a, like a night out, and that's, it's a lot of pressure.
Is and also you should, I think, always, and it's key to get to your set at least 40 minutes before your set. And the reason being, you need to watch the crowd. It's just, but once again, I only learnt this after, you know, doing gig after gig after gig.
After you ruined everyone's night. Joking.
Basically, I did that night, but, you know, it's like, what did we last about 10 years? Do you know what? I was scared. I'm not even like, I think there was an actual fear, and I didn't enjoy playing that night. Even when I brought them back with, like, the old school R&B, it was because then I was so stressed of doing it right, I forgot how to enjoy it. I mean, it was my first one, and it was a great club as well. I mean, I shouldn't really have taken a club that size on, but I, as you say, fake it till you make it. I just
go for it.
I've been practicing again and again and again, and I was like, right, I've got it. I know the tunes because I'm out. I was out every weekend anyway. So do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see people, I know what my friends like. So, you know, nightmare. It was a nightmare. But yeah, it did get better from there, I swear.
Do you know what though? I think as much as, yes, it was like an embarrassing moment and stuff like that, but there's actually quite a beautiful message in that, Pandora.
What's that?
No, but it's like, you learn from your mistakes, like you grow.
And you should be afraid. That's one thing I do want people to know. Do not be afraid to make mistakes, because, honey, you're going to make them. You're going to get turned down for certain jobs. You're going to get turned down for certain, you know, even in relationships.
Yeah.
You will get turned down. We cannot, like, you know, because they sit at home, but that's what we've got to do right now.
So let's
stay at home, okay? Don't leave. But, you know, can't just sit on our, you know, butts all the time in fear of not trying new things. Mate, we all have mistakes where, you know, we just think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But now you know not to do that. Do you see what I mean? And now,
definitely,
like, you would have never done this podcast had it been for you to just let it all go and just go, okay, what could possibly go wrong? You say the wrong thing.
Exactly. Which happens quite a lot, but I'm still here.
Delete that video. Delete the video. Delete the evidence, all right? Sorry.
Did not happen.
Delete comments.
No, I love that. It's so important. And it's one thing that I do kind of promote a lot of the time is, you know, nothing really grows until you get out of your comfort zone. You know, you've got to do it. And, you know, as much as it's scary, as much as, you know, you are, you know, afraid, the only thing that you've got to fear is not taking that first step. And I kind of live by that motto now of, I'd rather regret something that I have done than what I haven't. Because that's how you learn. That's how you grow.
What's your biggest mistake that you've learned from?
So do you know what, I would,
but I can't do that.
Yes. Do you know what, this is probably going to sound it, and I don't think I've actually really ever said this to anyone, but around the time, the situation with my mom, I was kind of dating and seeing an incredible girl, and I kind of pushed that person away, and I let it kind of go because of the situation I was in. And then it got to a stage where I was kind of hiding behind the situation because I didn't want to either hurt myself or hurt this other person. And now I don't have many regrets, but that is one of them. And now I've kind of learned, well, do you know what? All you can ever do is be honest.
That's it. Be honest and know in your heart when you've made a mistake and you can own up to it, you makes you feel better when you know, yeah, okay, I was wrong there. Yeah, yeah, I understand that.
That was it. Sorry, you just did that.
Yeah, mate, we're getting to know about you as well here.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Right. This is it now. I've got one final question for you.
No comment.
With being on the radio and, you know, you're kind of, that, you know, there's playlists and things like that. Do you ever get sick and tired of hearing, like, certain songs?
Do you know, it's a very good question. Very, very good question. And I'll answer it honestly, hands down.
Yeah.
I am lucky enough to work on a station that I love. These are the tunes that I will be playing when I'm at home. So even if I didn't have the radio, I would be playing those songs. And if you ask anyone that I know, I can, like, they will all tell you, I repeat songs. You know when you're at home and you love to, you put it on again.
I'm awful for it.
Yeah, so this is the thing. I could work for a station that played music that, for instance, I wasn't into.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work. And I can tell you that straight up. It wouldn't work. I wouldn't be able to talk passionately about the music, the artists. I think that working on a radio station as well is also a lifestyle. You have to suit the station's lifestyle. If you don't, it's not going to be genuine and you'll stick out like a sore thumb for a start. Just be like, hey, I want to be talking about pop stars, but instead I'm talking about rock stars. Everyone will be like, what the hell is going on? But yeah, no.
Pandora again playing Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, exactly.
Here she
Another
is.
Another great tune from Ozzy. Yeah, feels good. So yeah, so honestly, like, seriously, no, I don't get bored of it because they're the tunes that I love. And remember, I get to do club classics. I have Hearts Feel Good 5 at 11 o'clock, which is basically where I get to pick out five of the most incredible club classics. And believe me, when I pick them out, I make sure they're the best ones.
They are classics.
Saturday nights, don't I? 7 until 10. And they're my tunes. They're the tunes that I'll go and play out in a club.
Yeah.
So for me, I just feel lucky that, no, I don't feel that.
Perfect. That's actually a really heartfelt like response. So I'm actually really impressed. I was expecting some like, I hate this song. So a little bit disappointed.
Fire this person, you know. One more time. I've had enough.
No, I love it. Honestly, like, thank you so much for joining me. I'm going to say it in the recording. Like, I think this is up there with one of my favorites that I've ever had the pleasure of recording. Like, you are genuinely one of my favorite people, and your story is very inspiring to me. Like, I do relate to it on so many different levels, and it gives me a bit of a kick up the ass when I see, you know, the kind of trauma that you went through and then what you've kind of turned that into. Like, it genuinely means a lot to me, so I'm so grateful to be sat here having this chat with you.
Thank you. It really is a pleasure, and you have been so easy to talk to. Like, you really have. Like, you could literally, like, you know, you haven't really dug enough. I mean, you could have got more out of me, really, if I'm honest.
No, don't.
And this is part two of the stay tuned. No, it's been an absolute pleasure. You really are someone who is so easy to talk to. You just want to open up to, and I've had such a laugh with you as well. I didn't know it was gonna be so fun. I really so yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure, and it's so cool to meet you. When this is all over and we can finally meet up with each other, I definitely think we should. I mean, we will do.
Oh, 100%. I will take you up on that. Yeah. I will be buying you a beer or other beers of choice.
I haven't done it for a year.
Oh, God.
Something about me. Yeah, I gave up drinking. This was last year. And I can honestly tell you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel healthier. I'm not going to lie to you, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow. You know, my world's changed. It didn't change, okay? But I don't miss it. I now have no urge. Wow. I have no, like, well, I don't even have any alcohol in the house. I used to have some because, you know, if you, like, when you, like, birthdays and Christmas, you have a bubbly or something, don't you? And I would always just keep them. But now I've just, like, you know, recycled them to other friends when it's been their birthdays or Christmas presents. And I don't miss it.
Everyone's just heard you. That three-year-old bottle of gin that's been at the back of the cupboard. Happy birthday.
That's you 2 years ago.
Oh, we've all done it. We've done it,
haven't we? But yeah, do you know what? I was meant to only do it for a year. That's what I had in my head. I was like, yeah. Oh, do you know what? It's going to be a year. Let's see what happens. And no. I don't feel any different. I don't miss it.
You picked a tough year to do it. Or the right year, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah, because there hasn't been going out. There hasn't been, really. So probably it's been easier, probably, because I'm not going out. I'm not DJing anywhere. I'm not with my friends in a bar having a drink. Yeah. So maybe it actually has been easier. And I've carried it on till now, so I might as well just do another year of it. I don't think I'll go back to it, you know.
Well, do you know what? We'll go for lunch. When we're allowed to, we'll go for lunch.
Now we're talking, all right?
I will hold you to that. So
holidays.
It's me again. I brought you a sandwich. You see me outside the office.
Hi, yeah. Like, wait, it's not over yet. You can't come. Get back.
Oh God!
Oh, it's been so much fun.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I'm gonna interview you because I know there's more in there, and I know I can get it out of you. So
you know what? You did very well. You did. Do you know what? That's probably the first time. Like I didn't even think. I almost forgot that we were recording.
Yeah.
And it nearly came out. So you're good.
Oh yeah. So I was all right. I worked hard on that. But absolutely love you to bits. And keep succeeding because you are flying at the moment. And it's so refreshing to see as well. Someone who's also dealing with a lot of trauma and you're actually dealing with quite difficult times. I mean, we all are, aren't we? And some more than others. And I just think anyone who can shine or use their platform, which you are, for great use, it's a great thing that you're doing. So keep doing it, all right? Anyway, that's enough of giving you a big
yes. Thank you. I do not need any help with that. I struggle enough with that as it is. But yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Much love.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Huge thank you to my very special guest this week, the incredible Pandora. If you haven't already, don't forget you can still vote for us in the British Podcast Awards. The link is in my bio. As always, I'll see you next week.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the Waffle Shop podcast with me, Taylor James. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and even leave a review. It means the world to me. See you soon.